Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we're going to study John chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. Now keep in mind this phrase, the true vine. Let's read. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, this is a very interesting passage of Scripture. It's been used from time to time to teach that a man can lose his salvation and so forth, but really that's not the main thing in the passage here, and we'll show you why it's not appropriate to use this passage to try to defeat the doctrine of eternal security anyway. But that's not the main deal. The main deal is about fruit production. And in this passage, we see clearly that Jesus is the true vine. His Father, that is, God the Father, is the husbandman, and we are the branches. We are the branches. Now notice right away he says, first of all, I am the true vine. Well then, therefore, there must be a false vine. He said, I am the true vine. Then we'll definitely find something that's not true. So go to Deuteronomy chapter 32, Deuteronomy chapter 32, and you'll see right away that there is a problem. There is a problem. Deuteronomy 32, look at verse 32. Their vine is of the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asps. Now notice there, you've got this vine of Sodom that has bad grapes in it, grapes of gall and clusters which are bitter. Well, they're not connected to the true vine. They're connected to this false vine. And the type here of calling Jesus Christ a vine is very important when you... Now, the reason we... I don't want to rush away from it, but the reason we make the distinction between the true vine and the false vine is that, in fact, there are many people who are supposing that because they are connected to some religion, that they are therefore connected to the true vine. But that's not the case. The connection is to Jesus Christ personally, not to a religion. All right, and now when Jesus Christ refers to himself as a vine, it's very important because grape juice, which comes from the product of the vine, is like blood. It's like blood. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32 again. And look at verse 14. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and look at verse 14. Butter of kine and milk of sheep with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat. And thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. Speaking of the Jews in the wilderness, he said, thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. Now listen, when Jesus Christ was here on this earth, he shed his blood for us, and it is pure blood. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, we find, in whom we have redemption, through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Remember that? And when we hear about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed for our sins, it is precious blood, the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. It's pure blood. Pure blood. Now, this blood was symbolized by grape juice at the Last Supper. Remember, in Matthew chapter 26, what we're doing here is just kind of putting something together for you. We'll tie it here all in a nice neat knot in just a second. Matthew chapter 26, verse 27, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them and saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Now, if Jesus Christ is the true vine and there is a false vine, then those that are connected to the true vine of Jesus Christ are going to be connected to him by his shed blood. You got it? That's why we went through this little deal. In other words, when Jesus Christ shed his blood for our sins, it was symbolized by grape juice. Grape juice is like blood in Deuteronomy 32:14. Therefore, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ connected us to him, and in type, that is like a branch being connected to a vine. By the same token, there are other religions that use drink offerings as things like sacrament in order to connect you to the religion, and yet that is still a connection that is to the wrong vine if you are not personally connected by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to him as the true vine. Now you see how it all comes together. And these two vines are contrasted in Genesis 49 and in Revelation 14. All right, look in Genesis chapter 49 and notice a reference to the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and a reference to his second coming. Both of them have to do with vines or grapes. Genesis 49:11, speaking of Judah, the tribe from which Jesus Christ came, binding his foal unto the vine and his ass's colt unto the choice vine. See that? So when Jesus Christ makes the triumphal entry, it is like binding the foal and the ass's colt to the vine, to the choice vine. Now, second advent, same verse. He washed his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes. So the true vine is found at the first coming, and then the false vine is destroyed at his second coming. For that, go to Revelation 14 and look at verse 18. Revelation 14, look at verse 18. Revelation 14, 18 says, "Another angel came out from the altar which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, Thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth." See that? "And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress even unto the horse bridles by the space of 1,600 furlongs." Now you see, we are connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the true vine, and we are connected to him by his shed blood. Thereby we become a branch. And as Romans chapter 11 shows, we are grafted in to the true vine. Those that are connected to the vine of Sodom and Gomorrah through some false religion, for instance, will be destroyed at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ when the vine of the earth is reaped and thrown into the great winepress of the wrath of Almighty God. So you've got two vines. The true vine, for those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and have come to him by faith and are connected by his shed blood. And then you have the false vine, which is basically everything else called the vine of the earth, which winds a man up in the great winepress of the wrath of Almighty God. So, When you and I got saved, we got connected to the true vine. Let me say this. If you're not saved, if you're not born again, if you're not connected to the true vine by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to be. Otherwise, you're going to find at the end of this lesson in verse 6, a very terrible thing will happen to you. Now, notice, once you're connected to the true vine, unfruitful branches will be taken away. Verse 2. Every branch in me, notice that, in me is very important. Every branch in me, because you see later on in the text you find in verse 6 that there are men that are not in me. All right, those that are in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. So God's going to give a man a chance to bear fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if, over a period of time, that branch does not bear fruit, then that branch gets taken away. That was a major concern for Paul in his ministry. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, we find out what his concern was. Now, some people have said his concern was about losing his salvation. Nothing could be further from the truth. Paul knew that when he would die, he said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to them, all them that love his appearing. Well, he wasn't concerned about losing his salvation, but he was concerned about being an unfruitful branch and being taken away. And that is, he was concerned about not fulfilling the fullness of his ministry. It's all in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 is all about the ministry, and Paul was concerned that he wouldn't fulfill the ministry. And so he kept his body under so that he could win an incorruptible crown. And then he said in verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 9, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. That thing right there compares with John chapter 15, verse 2, that is, that a branch in me is not bearing fruit, and therefore it's taken away. Some people refer to it as being shelved in the ministry. They say, you know, this preacher so-and-so quit preaching the truth or whatever happened to him, and he ended up being shelved in the ministry, taken away. Now, in the most severe cases, that taking away is not just a matter of being shelved in the ministry where the branch is no longer producing any fruit. It is absolutely a literal taking away, as in the case of Ananias and Sapphira, where they were not producing fruit. As a matter of fact, they were producing something that was going to be very bad, and that is, they were producing a false spirituality. We gave so much, when in fact, they gave less than the sale price of their land or their possession that they sold. And so, they died on the spot, Ananias, and then Sapphira, when she joined in the lie, after Ananias was buried, she also found herself, you know, dead on the spot and buried. So, in the worst cases, the taking away of a branch can involve literal death. In the less severe cases, it is just a matter of a man being shelved. Now, you know, in your own life, you've probably come across somebody or know of somebody who knows somebody that had been in the ministry, but they're no longer in the ministry. They gave it up. Now, if they weren't really called to preach and God didn't put them into the ministry, then they're right to be out of it. But in many cases, the man was actually called to preach and really had it been enabled by God to go into the ministry, but because of sin or unfaithfulness or lack of fruitfulness, the guy quit and had been taken away. It could be sin through a number of things, immorality or through some physical thing like alcohol, or through simply just giving up because the guy got bitter about something and went back into the world to go do something other than minister for Christ. Well, in each of those cases, the branch is taken away because it's not bearing any fruit. And then he goes on to say this. That's what happens to the unfruitful branches. They're taken away. Now, obviously, because they're cluttering up the vine. If you imagine a real vine, then what you have is you have a situation where this vine is growing along a trellis or a wire or some sort of a something that's built there for the vine to go out on. And then you find this one branch that's on the vine that is just there sucking sap out of the vine, but it's not producing fruit. The vine dresser, the husbandman, would pluck that branch off of there because it's not helping the rest of the vine. It's hindering because it is taking up space. But now watch this. Fruitful branches, on the other hand, must be purged. Look at verse 2 again. In the middle, every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. It's a pruning process. Fruitful branches must be purged. And that's another process. If you've ever looked at anything, you might have access to the internet. You go to one of your search engines there, like Google, and you type in something about vineyards or grape gathering or grape growing or anything like that. And then go in there, you'll see a number of sites that will give you some information on this process, or you might even see some pictures. But what happens is, after a harvest, you've got all this branch material that's hanging off of the cane, and they'll go in there and they'll cut all that stuff away and just leave that cane running off the trunk. And the purpose of that is to purge or prune off. And it has been said that no other fruit really responds as well to pruning as does the grapevine. In other words, you really, really get a benefit out of it. Now, this pruning process is found by example in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. The whole thing is leading to chastening, but it says in verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Notice there, this laying aside of the weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. These things are put away. And then going on down a little bit further to verse 5, "You have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Now he goes through there and discusses the process, but basically in verse 10, it's done that we might be partakers of his holiness, and in verse 11, that it might yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Now Paul went through a lot of purging, and the purging came in a variety of ways. He had a thorn in the flesh that was a minister of Satan to buffet him, that he wouldn't be lifted up in pride. He also received a lot of persecution and affliction at the hands of the people that he preached to. And actually, these things caused him to grow closer to Christ and caused him to become more fruitful and caused him to rely more upon the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there he came to a place where he said, "I would rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ might rest on me," see? And so that was the purging process that he went through. Job went through a purging process. It purged away his self-righteousness, and when it was all done, God doubled to him everything that he had. Gave him kids back and so forth like that, and gave him generations of life following that terrible thing that he went through. But fruitful branches must be purged. So if you intend to do something great for the Lord Jesus Christ while you're attached to him as the vine, then just look forward to the purging process, because it's there to whack off the dead wood and cause you to produce more fruit. So, and another thing about fruitful branches, fruitful branches must be clean. Verse 3, "Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Now, the kinds of things that affect a vine are weeds that grow underneath the vine, sucking away some of the nutrition from the soil, and disease, various kinds of mold and mildew and other kinds of diseases that can literally kill the plant or certainly really affect its fruitfulness. Now, here he says you've got to be clean. Well, we know in Luke chapter 8, verse 14, that certain fruit tried to grow, seed tried to grow in the midst of thorns and thistles, and it couldn't bring forth fruit to perfection. It cut off its fruitfulness. So weeds will eventually cause the vine not to be so fruitful. And this disease thing is taken care of by the Word of God. the Word of God. Both the uprooting of weeds and the cleansing away of disease in our lives, disease pictured by sin, or sin pictured by disease, both of these things are accomplished by the Word of God. Like Ephesians 5 says, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, that is the church, with the washing of water by the Word. So, just listening right now to this broadcast today and hearing some preaching and teaching out of the Word of God has a cleansing effect on you. Reading your Bible has a cleansing effect on you. Going to church and hearing preaching and teaching and being exposed to the Word of God in study and in reading causes you to be clean and therefore gives you the opportunity to stay in a position where you can be fruitful for the Lord Jesus Christ. So fruitful branches must be purged, fruitful branches must be clean, fruitful branches also must abide in the vine. In verses 4 and 5, Jesus says, "Abide in me, I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches." In other words, it's not about you, it's about Jesus Christ. He's the vine, you're the branch. "I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth," watch it, "much fruit, for without me he can do nothing." Well, there are three things that we can see about fruitful branches needing to remain in the vine or needing to abide in the vine. First of all, they need to abide in the vine for supply. "Abide in me, and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine." You've got to have that for your supply. And the Bible says, "My God shall supply all your need through his riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord." So you're going to get everything that you need in order to produce fruit from Jesus Christ. One of the things that we see early on in the church, when they became so fruitful, I mean 3,000 souls added the first day that the preaching began in Acts chapter 2. How did all that happen? Well, that happened as a result of what Jesus Christ said in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 and verse 49, the Bible says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Regularly the disciples prayed for a filling of the Holy Spirit, and when they did, they could preach the Word of God in boldness, and they could stand against their adversaries and do miraculous things. And that all came from the Lord God. One of the great things you and I get as a supply for the work to bear forth fruit for Jesus Christ is grace. It's grace, because that's the thing we need to make us strong in the work of the Lord. But fruitful branches must abide in the vine for their supply. Obviously, when a branch is connected to the vine, it's going to get the sap to cause it to produce a healthy fruit. Not only that, to bear much fruit, the branch must abide in the vine, obviously, because it can't produce fruit of itself. The Bible says about bearing much fruit in another passage concerning a different kind of plant. Some would bear 30, some 60, some 100-fold. We are to be fruitful unto every good work, Colossians 1 says. And Paul said about a church giving him some help. He said, I needed the help, and I'm glad to have it, but he said, "It's not for my sake." He said, "It was that I may bear fruit to your account." So fruitfulness, bearing a lot of fruit, is a desire of God. Otherwise, what's the purpose? Why didn't we just die and go on to heaven after we got saved? And that's a very important purpose. And Monday's lesson, we'll see that God gets a great deal out of glory out of the production of fruit. So fruitful branches must abide in the vine for their supply to bear much fruit, and also because, logically, without him we can do nothing. Just like a branch can not do any supply or any fruit production if it's lying on the ground not connected to the vine. Amen? So the picture is perfect. The picture is perfect. It shows us our need to be abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ, our need to be clean, our need to be purged, and our need certainly to bear fruit so that the husband doesn't come along and cast us away. I might say, if you've been in the ministry and now you've just sulked away because of something that happened, sin or sadness or bitterness, look, if you hadn't been taken away to the point that you've been killed, hook up, man. God needs lots more people producing fruit. And if you're not in the ministry as a full-time minister, but you're in the ministry and you've never produced fruit for Jesus Christ, ask him, hey, God, supply me, purge me, clean me, that I may produce fruit, because that's what brings your Father glory. And I believe God would answer that prayer. Now, we see in the last verse of this passage, in verse 6, if a man is not a branch, he gets burned. If a man is not a branch, he gets burned. The rest of these are branches, and they don't get burned. But look at this. If a man abide not in me, there's somebody that's not connected at all, he is cast forth, watch it, as a branch. In other words, he's not a branch, but he's like it. He is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. They are burned. Now, before the cross of Calvary, when there was no such thing as eternal security, this verse could be applied to somebody that was like a Jew who was a child of the kingdom that didn't do these things in following the Lord Jesus Christ, and he winds up in hell because he didn't do what Jesus showed him to do. But after Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and you're plugged into the vine by the new birth, then this could not have any application to a man being severed from the vine, because he never was a branch in the first place. He was as a branch, but he never was in Jesus Christ. And therefore, obviously, he burns and goes to hell because he never had Jesus Christ as his Savior. Now, you see a couple of pictures of this gathering and burning. One is in Matthew chapter 13, verse 40. Matthew 13, 40. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels. They shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. John the Baptist preached about this same process in Matthew chapter 3, verse 10, when he said, "Now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit," there's your bad vine, your not true vine, "is hewn down and cast in the fire." Let me tell you something. If you're not connected to Jesus Christ by having trusted him and by his shed blood, then you need to do that now, or else in due time you're going to be cast forth into fire and be burned forever. And I don't want that for you, and I know the Lord doesn't either. So you need to get saved.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.